The reason we're in Perek Mem Vav. What?
Recorders
are on. Place two. Yes. Yes. So there is a Gemara that tells the following in Maseches Megillah. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Bo'ur e kama chavivin Yisrael l'shnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how wondrous, how special, how beloved the Jews are towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us in Gullus, wherever the Jews had to wander, Shechina Imahem, the Shechina went with them. So go to Mitzrayim, Shechina Imahem, they went to Mitzrayim, the Shechina was with them. Shneamar, that doesn't quote our Pasuk, it says a Pasuk in Shmuel, Hanigla Niglisi Leveis Avicha B'Yosef Mitzrayim, that I went with I was Megala myself in the house of your fathers when you were in Mitzrayim. When they went to Bavel, also Shechina Imam, Shneamar L'manachem Shalachti B'Bavel, that on your behalf I went to Bavel. Va'af K'Shehina Sidim L'Gal Shechina, and even in the future when you are going to get your Geula, the Shechina will be with you. How do we know that? From a pasuk in Devarim, V'Sheva Hashem Elokecha Eshvuscha V'Hishiv Lo Neamar El V'Shav, that doesn't say that I will return you, but rather says I will return Hashem your God. And Hashem your God will return, meaning that God was in Galus as well. El V'Shav Malam Shakar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was living with us amongst those in Galus. So what does that mean? That it's a concept called Shechinasa Begilusa, that the Shechina is in Galus. And what is this referring to? So there is a perek in the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Yud. So he asks, he says, wait a second, not only is it difficult to understand what this in the world is talking about, it seems to be very counterintuitive, because in Eretz Yisrael was the land of the miracles, right? While the Beis HaMikdash was standing, while the first Beis HaMikdash was standing, you had all the miracles that were going on in the Beis HaMikdash, and once the Galus happened, those miracles stopped. So what do you mean the Shechina is going out? The Shechina, how does that correspond to reality? So he explains, he says, just all it means is not necessarily that there will be clear manifestation, but the Maharal explains that the Shechina shomeris begalus, that the Shechina will continue to watch them in Galus. And furthermore, like, what does it mean that Bnei Yisrael is beloved for that reason? How does this represent a beloved when there's going to be less of a representative of Shechina? It seems like that is a going down as opposed to going up. So where does this idea of Shechina Imam appear first? So that actually appears in our parak, which is why we're talking about it. That the very first galus that took place of the entire Jewish people was Yaakov. It says in Pasuk, that's what Yaakov was afraid of. So in Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Gimel, it says Vayom Hashem assures Yaakov and says Vayom Anochi Akel Ki Avicha Al Tirah Mirdam Mitzrayim Ki Gvur Gadol Asim Chasham. Don't be afraid of going to have the Mitzrayim. You're going to become a great nation there. Anochi Eireid Imcha Mitzrayim. And I'll go down with you to Mitzrayim. Vanochi al alcha gamalo. When you come up, I will come up as well. And Yosef will put his hands on your eyes. And we discussed earlier this week what the two understandings of that could possibly be. But the very first part of the pasuk, Anochi eireid imcha. I'll go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I'm going to bring you up as well. So what does that mean? So there is a comment, a parak, really a whole chapter in the Mori Nebuchim, where the Rambam goes and praises Unklus. Look how brilliant Unklus was. That even though that he did so much to fight against the concept of God's corporeality, the fact that there is a being, that God represents a being. So, and the Rambam points out that every time that the Torah uses a terminology of that represents a being of Hashem, right, the Unklus changes it to something else. So as opposed to it saying that the Shechina came down, or as soon as it says, I will go down, he changes it to the Lord manifested himself. As opposed to the Lord comes down, means that Hashem manifested itself. And Hashem says, I'll go down and see. It says, no, I'll manifest myself and see. Every time that there is a appearance in the Torah of God appearing, or God going someplace, he just says, no, that's just a greater manifestation of the Shechina. Says the Rambam, except for here, where Unklus where the Hashem says, I will go down with you, so Unklus translates with it as well as, I'm going to be with you to Mitzrayim. So says the Rambam, Rambam, why is this the one case that's different? Why does Unklus here seem to not be concerned with the appearance of God picking up one place and traveling someplace else? So the Rambam gives somewhat of a technical answer. The Rambam says, because this was not actually God doing it. This was God promising to do it. So this isn't what, as opposed to when the Parsha says the Hashem goes down and sees what's going on in Sdom. So that's describing what's actually happening. So Unklus can't describe that as God going any place. God is everywhere. So rather, it's God manifested himself. But here, this is God describing his actions to Yaakov. He says to Yaakov, I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim. So in that case, Unklus isn't translating what happened. Unklus is translating what God said is going to happen. So he just has to translate the words. So when he's only translating the words, so he says it as going someplace as opposed to a manifestation. And the Rambam goes on to say that maybe something did go. There was an angel that accompanied him or something like that, but not that God would actually go and travel any place. So if you recall earlier this week when we looked at that very first Ramban, so there was a very large Ramban on the first Pasuk where it first talked about why it says Elokei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak, as opposed to the God of Avram, and he explained that that represents the idea of Gevura, the idea of Midas Hadin, and that's what Yaakov was appealing to. He didn't want to get in trouble for being the one that would bring his nation down to Mitzrayim. So the Ramban continues for a long time, and he's actually talking about this. He quotes this Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim, and he disagrees, surprise, surprise, with what it says in the Mor Nebuchim. And the Ramban, after he talks about the words of the Rambam, he says, what does he mean? The Ramat says, no, it's just simply this concept that the Shechina is going down to Mitzrayim. The Shechina is going down to Mitzrayim. So he's left with back in the beginning. Okay, so Hashem tells Yosef, the Shechina is going down to Mitzrayim. So what does that mean that the Shechina is going down? So the Maharal continues and points to a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara there is discussing various aspects of Bikur Cholim. That's actually the concept. We're in the Mishnah Berurah Cholim on Shabbos, so we don't have an idea of praying specifically for him. So we say Shabbos Himilizo Urfua Kravolavis. So we're not, Shabbos actually keeps us from praying directly for the ill, but Rafua should come anyways. Right? So that is actually in that Gemara on Daf Yud Beis in Masechet Shabbos. And then he continues on and says the following somewhat mysterious idea, that Hanichlas Levakir Sachola, that when a person goes and visits the Chola, Lo Yeshiv Lo Al Gabi Mitav Lo Al Gabi Kisei, one shouldn't sit on a bed, nor should one sit on a chair, El Misatev V'yoshev Lefanav, Mifnei Sheshchina L'mala Meirosh Yusav Shalchola, Shneimar Hashem Yisadenu Al Eresh Nevei. That rather he should sit, I shouldn't sit on a chair, rather he should wrap himself and sit in front of the chola. I mean, rather than sitting on this, I'm not sure what that means exactly, but he should somehow wrap himself and be concerned. Why? Because the Shechina is resting on top of the head of the chola. That's the purpose of that Gemara. The Shechina is present by the chola. So, asks the Maharal, why? What does that mean? What the chola do? Why does the chola have? What does the Shechina have to do specifically with the chola being in that place? So the Maharal gives two answers, and actually two somewhat counterintuitive. Contradictory answers. Number one is that the chola hu yotze me'atav haragil. He says, on one hand, the chola has left the regular teva, has left normalcy. Meaning the way that the body is supposed to work, there's a normal way for the body to work. It continues to work and continues to function, and it's assuming everything is functioning normally, so the body's not you don't get sick. So for a person to get sick, that means that they have left normalcy. So, in a way, a person might be functioning on autopilot. I know this goes against some concepts of the Ramban, that you never function on autopilot, but in a way you're functioning on autopilot, but if things are being changed for you, so Hashem owes it to you that Hashem will be present. Hashem, you need extra care at that point, because you're not just functioning on autopilot, you're functioning in some distinct way, and that's answer number one for why the Shekhinah is present. Answer number two for why the Shekhinah is present is based on the possibility in Yeshaya, Eshkonis Daka v'Shachal Ruach, that Abide, which is actually the Haftorah of Yom Kippur morning. Eshkon Ezdaka, that Hashem abides by the despondent, the Veshachal Ruach, and by those that are lowly of spirit. When a person finds themselves, when a person is healthy, Inu Chash Al Afsiyusav, a person doesn't give any thought to his Afsiyusav. What does Afsiyusav mean? Anyone know? Efes. What is Efes? What?
Nothing.
All right, afsiyuso. I'm not sure it's actually a real word or not. I didn't see it in the dictionary. But afsiyuso means one's nothingness. Mm-hmm. Right? A person doesn't focus on their nothingness. But adarav, opposite, a person thinks that everything is doing fine. Ram l'chav v'shakta l'shem alakacha. And that's actually what we're supposed to fear in Parshas. In Parshas Ekev, where Hashem says you're going to be full, your heart's going to be victorious, and you're going to forget the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Adikachu dochik es ragli hashkin bimenu ein ani v'hu yichol nador bi'olam. And that's when Hashem says, I'm not able to ein ani v'hu yichol nador bi'olam. As the Gemara in Sota says, when a person becomes arrogant, Hashem says, I'm not able to live with you in the same world. So normally a person is living arrogantly. So when a person becomes sick, so then they start feeling lowly. They start focusing on their lowliness, how they need a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they give more focus to Hashem, and that's actually what brings the Shekhinah to them. In fact, he gives an interesting footnote here that in the Samuch Pei Hei Kuf, I assume that stands for the Sfarim HaKadoshim, meaning Al Pi Kabbalah, he explains Zehu Hatam Shechola Ein Lo Teavon Leachol. That's the reason why sick people aren't hungry. They don't have a desire for Olam Hazeh, the desire for Gashmias, the desire for things in this world, eludes them because they're more focused on their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at that point than they are when everything is healthy. So those are the two reasons that the Maharal gives. Again, a little contradictory to one another.
You could
coordinate them, but at first glance they seem somewhat contradictory.
Right.
On one hand, a person they have left their derech hateva, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the need to be them, meaning they're considered on a higher level. And the second aspect is that they are on a lower level, and being on a lower level forces one to come to grips with the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, what's going on? So Bnei Yisrael then goes to Galus, says the Sif Seichayim. He continues, picks up from the Maharal, and the Sif Seichayim in Chela Gimel, in a section having to do with Tisha B'Av. So he goes on and says the possibility of Shechina Imah, the first possibility from Hashem's perspective, when Bnei Yisrael is then in Galus, She Yitzu Miderach Tava Maragila, they have left their regular Teva. So because they have left the regular Teva, meaning the regular Teva of the Jew is to be in Yerushalayim, and to be with a Beis HaMikdash, and to be surrounded by the manifestations of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Israel. So when they have left that situation, so they require a greater connection to Hashem. Hashem, so to speak, says, I took you out of where you're naturally supposed to be, I have to give you greater care. And he actually adds in, Umizet tavo gam hashpala titlan zuchus ki yume gashmi bina umus. And because of this, we perhaps have greater hashpa, and that Hashem is with us in giving us greater gashmias in the Bina Ul while living amongst the rest of the nations. And that explains why Jews are richer. That's what he said. Right? They have a greater connection with Hashem. It's okay. We're not the first ones in America to have perhaps greater wealth than the average person. That started with our Parsha, with Yosef. Right? Yosef is in Mitzrayim, and Yosef does better. And in fact, what are the words to use that are used to describe Yosef being doing better in Mitzrayim? It says Hashem is with Yosef. That's what the pasuk says. Hashem was with Yosef, and they saw Hashem was with Yosef, and therefore he was very successful in his business endeavors that he took part in Mitzrayim, and that's a representative of the first idea. The second idea, however, of Shekhinah Imahim, the idea of that from the Jews' perspective, that we see a greater connection to Hashem because things are very difficult for the Jews and Galus. That and these are, I'm not sure, these are perhaps dealing with different times of Galus, or perhaps even dealing with the same times, that the Jews may have had wealth, but that also led to greater hatred, led to pogroms, mm-hmm. that led to systematic attempts at annihilation, and and he had Uveis Hazu Chashim B'Yesa Sheis Es Afsiyosav, and that perhaps is a greater presence of Hashem is with the despondents, that during the difficult times of the Jewish past, so they perhaps they had a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because specifically they were dealing with difficult periods. So what does it then mean that Hashem will be with them in the future? Af Kashahin Asidin. The Gemara concludes with Af Kashahin Asidin Le'igael, Shin is going to be with them. So what does that mean? That Shelo Yale Al Adas Lomar Shirak Begalus Roy Am Yisrael Shishchinim. That's not just while they are in Galus that they have this. Lefi Beis Abachinus Alal Heimitzad Kadosh Baruch Heimitzad Yisrael. Aval Kishiyat, because as these ideas are, one is from the Hashem's perspective, one is from the Jewish perspective. Aval Kishiyatzu Mehagalus LeGeula Lo Shayech Tamim Elu Sheyisku LeShchina Imahem. But when they go from Galus to Geula, perhaps these reasons won't apply anymore. We're going to Geula. But he says still that which we gained in Galus, that idea of seeing the needs of HaKadosh, seeing our need to have a connection with Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizing that we need extra care, so that's going to go with us not just while we are in Galus, but also when the Geula comes along as well. So perhaps that explains a somewhat cryptic medrash that appears over the course of this part, also having to do with Yosef. That it says, the Pasuk said, Vayhi Hashem es Yosef, that Hashem was with Yosef, and that introduces the idea that Yosef was very successful with his stuff in Egypt. And he was also successful, by the way, not just in his business, but he was also successful in warding off the challenges that came along with that success, meaning from Ashes Potiphar. Right? So that also represents the two bechinos. On one hand, Yosef being successful, that's Hashem helping out Yosef, but also Yosef in his despondent state, perhaps seeking a greater connection with Hashem, which may have assisted him in warding off Potiphar's wife. There's different ways of understanding that story. But the Medrash continues on and says, Amar Rabbi Yudin, Levehemai Shahat, this is in Medrash Rabbah, Bereshis Pevav Dalet, Ha'im Shar Shvatim Lav, Amar Rabbi Yudin, Levehami Shahai Lefanu Shtei Esrei Behemos Tu'unin Yayim. So Rabbi Yudin compares it to when that Hashem was with Yosef, that like an animal driver, a person who was herding animals, and he was herding 12 animals, Tu'unos Yayin, all of them were laden with wine. So he had 12 animals carrying wine. Nichnasa achas mihem lechanuso she'ol v'kochavim. So one of them then enters the market of the non-Jew. Right? One of the animals goes off and enters the market of the non-Jew. So he niach yir aleph v'halach lo achareha. So the cowboy, right, the driver of all these animals, so what does he do? He leaves the 11 animals outside and he goes, follows the one animal on the inside. So Amrulos, they say to him, Ma temaniach yir aleph v'halach lo achareha achas. Why are you leaving 11 and only chasing after one? Right? So Amr lehem, so he responds, Elu birshus harabim heim ve'eni choshish lahen shema yase yai nesach. He says these 11 are in rishus harabim, and I'm not concerned that they're going to become yai nesach. Right? What's the concern here? He had 12; they all carried wine on them. So the concern is that a non-Jew is going to go and they're going to stick a cup into the wine, or they're going to pour the wine, or whatever they're going to do with it. They're going to make it yai nesach. They're going to make the wine prohibited. So he says, in rishus harabim, I don't have to worry. No non-Jew is going to touch it. But if it goes into the marketplace, or it goes into the supermarket, so somebody may go ahead and touch it. So therefore, I have to be more careful about that one than I am about the 11 that I'm leaving outside. So the Gemara, so the Medrash continues on and says, Kachel gedolim irishus aviyim. So so too, the 11 tribes, they're, the 11 brothers, they're all with their father. They're all with Yaakov. They're all safe. But Yosef, who is by himself, and he's the youngest, or the smallest, lefichach vayhi Hashem es Yosef. Therefore it says, Hashem was with Yosef. Right? Because Yosef needs the extra care. So the Sifsei Chaya points out and says, wait a second. He says, okay, I get it. Right? That you have 12, one goes in, he needs extra care, so therefore we're going to follow the one and leave the 11 outside. But the comparison breaks down somewhat. In what way? And we see, how does the comparison break down between Yosef and leaving the brothers and one mule leaving the other 11 mules? Where does the comparison break down? Who's overseeing the mules?
Hashem.
No. Who's overseeing the mules?
The owner.
The owner. Who's overseeing Yosef? Hashem. So is there any limit to where Kadosh Baruch Hu could be? Right? Listen, the owner has to be one place. He's only in Rishus HaRam or he's in Rishus HaYachid. So Hashem is saying, so do I, I'm only going to be with Yosef. Well, what do you mean? Why don't you just be by both? Like, how does this, what's going on here? So the Tzitzit Chaim says, that's the concept of Shechinta, the Gelusa, that there is going to be a special divine assistance that's going to be given to Yosef, that's going to be given to that person which is in Galus, right? So it's and there's actually a long, I noticed as I came in here, I wanted to check something up. So I saw in the Art School Medrash, he has a long insight where he quotes much of this point of this Tzitzit Chaim. So he pointed out that it's, That there's two different things going on at once here. On one hand, there's a greater revelation in Israel. There's a greater revelation in the Beis HaMikdash with the fire always burning and the lots always coming out on the right side and all the other miracles that take the Lechem HaPanim never going to all the different things that go on in the Beis HaMikdash. But perhaps there's a greater revelation in the land of Israel. But the greater divine assistance that comes into the Lord's. And that's the concept of Shechina v'Gelusa. That's the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't leave us. Yeah, I mean, he explains a few other concepts here. Maybe we'll do one or two more concepts building on this idea that we had when Yosef was being sold down. So Yosef, the pasuk makes a point that Yosef was being sold down by Arabs that were selling. What were the Arabs selling that brought down Yosef? Those merchants were involved with the spice trade, right? And now remember this, Rashi makes a point and says normally they're involved with selling like bad smelling oils and things like that, right? But Hashem made it so that these would be the spices. So the Rav Yerucham Levavitz from Mir, so the Kos Rav Yerucham is asking, wait a second, do you think Yosef really cared? Yosef is here now being shut down to shut down to Egypt. Right, does it really matter to Yosef what the smell is going to be like? Is it really going to make that big of a difference to him? So says Rav Yerucham, so no, the point wasn't that it made Yosef's life better. The point of that was showing Yosef that I'm still with you. It wasn't about the gashmias, it wasn't about the smell, it wasn't about that now Yosef is going to be comforted because, well, while he's being hung upside down from a rod, at least he's smelling spices rather than smelling oils. The point was just that Hashem was giving Yosef a tap and saying, Yosef, don't worry. Don't worry, I know you might be leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to Galus, but I'm still with you. I will still give you the extra divine assistance, which perhaps will be necessary in order for you to survive while in the land of Egypt.
Apparently, all the countries that we went to in Galus wound up prospering also.
Right. It's true. And I was actually listening to a tape last week from Rav Aaron Lopiansky, who traced this up and down, that the Jewish life, the Jewish story in Gullus is a very sad story. I mean, the Jews had a lot of difficult things. We don't even recognize all the difficult things because it gets swallowed up by the bigger difficult things. Right. But all of these steps, when things happened, there was another thing that got opened. So one thing that he pointed out specifically was during the Spanish Inquisition. So Spanish Inquisition wasn't just, people think about, oh, well, you had to leave, or you would be executed, or you had to convert. Right? So leaving wasn't, oh, instead of living in Philadelphia, you moved to Los Angeles. Right? It means leaving everything, leaving all of your wealth behind, going to another place where you had no job, no process, you don't know the language, you didn't have any relatives, you didn't have anything. But yet, some did. And where did they go? So a lot of them moved to Turkey at the time. Turkey, 40 years earlier, would not have allowed Jews there. It's only because the church had taken over and perhaps had opened up, not the Catholic Church, but the church had split with the with the Eastern Orthodox Church. It happened right before then. And that's what made it somewhat hospitable for Jews to go there. So at each point of the difficulties of the Galus, you also see a little bit of the Nechama that goes along as well. And that perhaps gives us chizuk along the way, that looking through the stories and seeing the mysterious nefesh that took place, and how even though things seem to be impossible, it would have been over. The point that he makes is if his parent, who in 1946, Holocaust is now over, and then you look at the world. So what is the future for the Jewish world? Right, you look in Europe, is destroyed. Right, Israel had really no possibility. Nobody could actually foresee that this would actually work. Right. America, you had no chance of continuing remaining religious if one went to America. And where else? Where were Jews going to go? Right. But yet, from those seeds, was able to then flower the miraculous world that we're living in today. And ultimately, this perhaps is the final revelation that Hashem is promising us, that He'll bring us on to the final Gula here. And the Shabbos.
Yeah, kind of.